It's not a question if technology is going to guarantee the supply of food for the world. It's not if, must, has to. So there is no other answer. We must do that because population is going to increase 2.0 billion people from the year 2000 to the year 2025, according to United Nations information. So we are trying to do something in Brazil that is interesting. I would like to show you these figures. In the last 17 years, the cultivated area in Brazil with grains has increased 27%. 27% area cultivated. But the production has improved at 147%. This is pure agronomic technology given to some enterprises like Embrapa, which is our national enterprise for research in agriculture. It means more or less 99% bigger in 17 years, the productivity per area. But it's not only in grains, it's also in meat production. For instance, chicken, broiler, in the last 13 years, the production of broiler has increased 200%. The pork production, 130%. And beef, 77%. But beef is increasing very quickly in the last 5-6 years, because 15 years ago, a cow went to the slaughterhouse 4 years old. Now it goes 18 months old. So we're producing much more beef per hectare than before. And of course, the issue of sugarcane. When we talk about biofuels and ethanol from sugarcane, you have your figure that in the beginning of the Brazilian program for biofuels, named Proalcool, if you had today the same productivity per area that we had at that time, we should need now the double of cultivated area with sugarcane to get the same production. That means it was also 100% the increasing of productivity per area in sugarcane. And I think there is something that nobody pays attention on that. This biggest productivity and more production in less areas means sustainability, because we don't need more rainforest or savannas or cerrados to get the same production that you have today. Otherwise, we should destroy much more than has been announced worldwide. And the last figure that you have that is very important for me to tell you about this, the issue of biofuels, is that differently than food that any country can produce, even in greenhouses, in Siberia, for instance, differently of food, biofuels or agro-energy depend enormously on sun. And that means that the production of biofuels, bioelectricity, and agro-energy in general will happen between the two tropics, the Tropic of Cancer and the Tropic of Capricornio. And the countries that are there are Latin American countries, African countries, and the poorer Asian countries. So what's going to happen through agroenergy is a big change, not only in agricultural paradigm in the world, but much more than that. There will be a change of geopolitics, because these poor countries are going to produce the most important commodity for the 21st and 22nd century, which is energy. So the example that Brazil has on biofuels in terms of ethanol from sugarcane is absolutely perfect to being applied in other Latin American countries, as it will be, and in African countries and in Asian countries, mainly because sugarcane comes originally from Asia. So I'm telling you these figures to give you my vision that absolutely we are going to improve new technologies, we'll get much more productivity per area, and we are able to feed humankind, and we are able to produce biofuels also altogether, even sugarcane as a gramínea, as you know, in the rotation of 20% of the complete area of sugarcane has to be renewed annually, and it is renewed through plantation of leguminosas like soybean, beans, or peanuts. Then sugarcane is now increasing its area in Brazil, conquering pastures area, because we need less pasture area because the technology of cattling is improving also. So we are producing food and grains where before there was never production of grains. Sugarcane allows us to do that. So this is something that I think should be spread worldwide in order to give you some informations of what we are doing. There are some myths that in Brazil that sugarcane production is going to reduce the production of food. That's not correct. And the proof of that is that this year we have our record of production of grains, our record, historical record, this year, 2008. But we also have the record of production of sugarcane. We also have the record of production of meat. And we also have the record of production of dairy products. So there is no competition between sugarcane and food in Brazil. And we can reply that in African countries, in other Latin American countries, and a lot of Asian countries. Just to finish, I think that indeed technology will represent the victory, because we are going to get that. And in Brazil, there are some new technologies that are solutions fantastic for the near future. One of that, developed by Embrapa, is what we call the integration agriculture pastures. And it's like a Columbus egg. You seed the grass, the pastures, before seeding the food, like soybean or maize or whatever. And then when you harvest the food, then the pasture is able to receive cattle during the dry season in there. So you get two crops in the same year, and it's developing fantastically, even saving water through conservation of the soil and the land. Other important thing that we are doing in Brazil, there are a lot of governments worldwide that are working with biofortification. I don't know if there is a name in English. It's biofortification, which is through genetics and even biotech. We can make the food and the products in agriculture much more rich in vitamins, in carotenoids, and other issues that can get much more capacity to sustain people than before. Technology in agroenergy is increasing enormously in Brazil, enormously. Sugarcane, new varieties, and the use of the leaves and the bagasse will give us a chance to double the productivity per area of ethanol in 10 years. Currently, we produce around 8,000 liters per hectare, but in 10 years, we go to 15,000 liters. So it will be very much cheaper than today in competition with gasoline. So we have a lot of things to show you about technology. But I'd like to say three more things to finish my short presentation. First, small farmers. There is a vicious cycle. A small farm is not profitable. They cannot buy technology. They have not good production. They are not profitable. You have to cut that in some place. And I think that the only solution for that is cooperatives, cooperative movements, because cooperative can spread technology, can give credit, and can add value in the conjunct of small farmers that the big farmers can do it alone by themselves. But small farmers without cooperative cannot resist. And I think that in Africa, Asia, and Latin American countries, the cooperative movement can represent an important role for that. And even to develop new technologies, because as we said during the presentation, the keynote speaker's presentations, it was showed that there is less governmental resources for research in the countries. But we are developing in Brazil, together with Embrapa, under a new legislation that have there, a kind of special society between the enterprise, the government enterprise of research, and private sector, through which private sector puts money and gets results, not only through the research, but also in the rights to sell later on the what has been developed through this partnership. And it's working interestingly. It's a very new issue that's going on, and it's interesting in there. And now, to finalize, in the last panel, Scott, excuse me for this just one, somebody asked why young people are not coming to agriculture and going to other activities. I teach agronomics in my country since 1967. And indeed, the interest is being reduced in terms of agriculture. Why? Because, as Graham said, in other sectors, they receive more. They are more well paid. The financial sector, the stock options, are paying so much that, you know, I am agronomist. My father was agronomist. He had one brother agronomist and a brother-in-law agronomist. My mother is a daughter of an agronomist. She has three brothers. The three are agronomists. I have just one sister. She's married to an agronomist. They have two children. Both are agronomists. I have just one wife. She's an agronomist. We have four children. The two boys are agronomists. One girl is psychologist. The other one is lawyer because somebody must take care of our back, of course. And I have a daughter-in-law, which is agronomist also. And my eight grandchildren look at us and say, stupid you are. We will work for finance sector. So something must be done on that. Because what we are seeing now is a crisis in the financial sector. Why? Because there is not a product to guarantee this money flying over the countries. So we must produce more. But I go to Europe very often to discuss biofuels mainly. And I have friends in what they call CEJA, Le Conseil Européen des Jeunes Agriculteurs. It's a council for young farmers. And the members are disappearing. I said, why your members are disappearing? They said, for two reasons. First, because it's clear that our profit is diminishing. And second, because of that, we don't find, como é que é noiva em inglês? Wives. 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 Fiances. Fiances. Ladies don't want to marry us because we are poor. So imagine, without profit, without wife, let's go to other sector.
Thank you, Roberto.